Dark eyes stare at the man in the light gray suit distrustfully. The man in the charcoal suit says something in reply. The man in the light suit, who has a graying reddish beard, shakes his head.
Look, I'm sorry about what went down in Wisconsin, but I got you all out safely, didn't I? No one was hurt.
The man in the dark suit sips his Laphroaig in water, savoring the marshy taste, the body in the bog quality of the whiskey. He asks a question.
I don't know. Everything's moving faster than I expected. Everyone's got a hard-on for the kid I hired to run errands. I've got him outside, waiting in the taxi. Are you still in?
The man in the dark suit replies. The bearded man shakes his head.
She's not been seen for 200 years. If she isn't dead, she's taken herself out of the picture.
Something else is said.
Look,
says the bearded man, knocking back his Jack Daniels.
You come in. Be there when we need you, and I'll take care of you. What do you want? Soma? I can get you a bottle of Soma, the real stuff.
The man in the dark suit stares. Then he nods his head reluctantly and makes a comment.
Of course I am,
says the bearded man, smiling like a knife.
What do you expect? But look at it this way. It's the only game in town.
He reaches out a paw-like hand and shakes the other man's well-manicured hand. Then he walks away. The thin waitress comes over, puzzled. There's now only one man at the corner table, a sharply dressed man with dark hair and a charcoal gray suit.
Are you doing okay? Is your friend coming back?
The man with the dark hair sighs and explains that his friend won't be coming back, and thus she won't be paid for her time or for her trouble. And then, seeing the hurt in her eyes and taking pity on her, he examines the gold threads in his mind, watches the matrix, follows the money until he spots a node, and tells her that if she's outside Treasure Island at 6 a.m., 30 minutes after she gets off work, she'll meet an oncologist from Denver who will just have won $40,000 at a craps table and will need a mentor, a partner, someone to help him dispose of it all in the 48 hours before he gets on the plane home. The words evaporate in the waitress's mind, but they leave her happy. She sighs and notes that the guys in the corner have done a runner and have not even tipped her. And it occurs to her that instead of driving straight home when she gets off shift, she's going to drive over to Treasure Island. But she would never, if you asked her, be able to tell you why.
So who was that guy you were seeing?
Asked Shadow as they walked back down the Las Vegas concourse. There were slot machines in the airport. Even at this time of the morning, people stood in front of them, feeding them coins. Shadow wondered if there were those who never left the airport, who got off their planes, walked along the jetway into the airport building, and stopped there, trapped by the spinning images and the flashing lights. People who would stay in the airport until they had fed their last quarter to the machines, and then would turn around and get onto the plane back home. He guessed it must have happened. He suspected that there wasn't much that hadn't happened in Las Vegas at some point or other. And America was so damn big that with so many people, there was always bound to be somebody. And then he realized that he had zoned out, just as Wednesday had been telling him who the man in the dark suit they had followed in the taxi had been, and he had missed it.
So he's in. It'll cost me a bottle of Soma, though.
What's Soma?
It's a drink.
They walked onto the charter plane, empty but for them and a trio of corporate big spenders who needed to be back in Chicago by the start of the next business day. Wednesday got comfortable, ordered himself a Jack Daniels.
My kind of people see your kind of people.
He hesitated.
It's like bees and honey. Each bee makes only a tiny, tiny drop of honey. It takes thousands of them, millions perhaps, all working together to make the pot of honey you have on your breakfast table. Now, imagine that you could eat nothing but honey. That's what it's like for my kind of people. We feed on belief, on prayers, on love. It takes a lot of people believing just the tiniest bit to sustain us. That's what we need instead of food. Belief.
And Soma is?
To take the analogy further, it's honey wine. Mead.
He chuckled.
It's a drink. Concentrated prayer and belief distilled into a potent liqueur.
They were somewhere over Nebraska eating an unimpressive in-flight breakfast when Shadow said,
My wife.
The dead one.
Laura. She doesn't want to be dead. She told me, after she got me away from the guys in the train.
The action of a fine wife, freeing you from durance vile and murdering those who would have harmed you. You should treasure her, nephew Ainsel.
She really wants to be alive again. Not one of the walking dead or whatever she is. She wants to live again. Can we do that? Is that possible?
Wednesday said nothing for long enough that Shadow started to wonder if he had heard the question, or if he had, possibly, fallen asleep with his eyes open. Then he said, staring ahead of him as he talked,
I know a charm that can cure pain and sickness, and lift the grief from the heart of the grieving. I know a charm that will heal with a touch. I know a charm that will turn aside the weapons of an enemy. I know another charm to free myself from all bonds and locks. A fifth charm. I can catch a bullet in flight and take no harm from it.
His words were quiet, urgent. Gone was the hectoring tone, gone was the grin. Wednesday spoke as if he were reciting the words of a religious ritual, as if he were speaking something dark and painful.
A sixth. Spells sent to hurt me will hurt only the sender. A seventh charm I know. I can quench a fire simply by looking at it. An eighth. If any man hates me, I can win his friendship. A ninth. I can sing the wind asleep and calm a storm for long enough to bring a ship to shore. Those were the first nine charms I learned. Nine nights I hung on the bare tree, my side pierced with a spear's point. I swayed and blew in the cold winds and the hot winds, without food, without water, a sacrifice of myself to myself, and the worlds opened to me. For a tenth charm, I learned to dispel witches, to spin them around in the sky so that they will never find their way back to their own doors again. An eleventh. If I sing it when a battle rages, it can take warriors through the tumult unscathed and unhurt, and bring them safely back to their hearth and their home. A twelfth charm I know. If I see a hanged man, I can bring him down from the gallows to whisper to us all he remembers. A thirteenth. If I sprinkle water on a child's head, that child will not fall in battle. A fourteenth. I know the names of all the gods, every damn one of them. A fifteenth. I have a dream of power, of glory, and of wisdom, and I can make people believe my dreams.
His voice was so low now that Shadow had to strain to hear it over the plane's engine noise.
A sixteenth charm I know. If I need love, I can turn the mind and heart of any woman. A seventeenth. That no woman I want will ever want another. And I know an 18th charm, and that charm is the greatest of all. And that charm I can tell to no man. For a secret that no one knows but you is the most powerful secret there can ever be.
He sighed and then stopped talking. Shadow could feel his skin crawl. It was as if he had just seen a door open to another place, somewhere worlds away, where hanged men blew in the wind at every crossroads, where witches shrieked overhead in the night.
Laura,
was all he said. Wednesday turned his head, stared into Shadow's pale gray eyes with his own.
I can't make her live again. I don't even know why she isn't as dead as she ought to be.
I think I did it. It was my fault.
Wednesday raised a bushy eyebrow.
Mad Sweeney gave me a golden coin, back when he showed me how to do that trick. From what he said, he gave me the wrong coin. What he gave me was something more powerful than what he thought he was giving me. I passed it on to Laura.
Wednesday grunted, lowered his chin to his chest, frowned. Then he sat back.
That could do it. And no, I can't help you. What you do in your own time is your own affair, of course.
What is that supposed to mean?
It means that I can't stop you from hunting eagle stones or thunderbirds. but I would infinitely prefer that you spend your days quietly sequestered in Lakeside, out of sight, and, I hope, out of mind.